Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar. This is Points on the Board, episode 99. One more episode till we hit the centennial mark. We got a great show for you again tonight. We're going to talk about the Mountain West Tournament and a judge appointed by Joe Biden, who has made it clear he wants men to play female sports. And then we're going to sit there and talk about how this national issue that we hear a lot about at the college level, how it has made its way down to the high school level with some vicious video for you to look at. And then from there, we're going to talk about the NBA. The NBA is not dying, but they are the greatest grifters you will know in our lifetime, because they just signed a big, massive, multi-billion-dollar contract despite losing about 50% of the ratings over the last 10, 12 years. And from there, we are going to have a few quick hits. Netflix is being sued. We're going to break that down. Mark Cuban got whacked. Get off my court, the Adelson said, and lost his court-side seats. And Baker Mayfield said, bleep you, Dad. I'm taking your ass to court. Yeah. But before we get to that, do not forget to like, share, and most importantly, subscribe to Points on the Board podcast. And with that, let me welcome my partner and cohort here, Mr. Bill Ross. Bill, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Always nice to be here.
Bill's lying. His Chargers got the shit knocked out of him tonight.
Did you have to bring that up? I mean, the Rams lost. The Chargers lost. I mean, come on.
But, you know, it's like the Rams Super Bowl. Let's be honest. That was a mercenary Super Bowl. They hired some gunslingers there, won their Super Bowl with the team's help. I'll be honest, Bill. These new coaches do not impress me. They are not leaders of men. They are whiz kids with the X's and O's, and you see it. You know, that's why the Kansas City Chiefs dominate. They've got a phenomenal head coach, and more importantly, everybody looks at Patrick Mahomes. He's a gunslinger. He's an arm. He can scramble. Yeah. You know what his greatest asset is? His mind. He knows when to sling that ball. He knows when to get out of the pocket. You know, that's why I look at Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he had a good game against the soft-ass Chargers, but wait till playoff times come around.
He was inaccurate in the first half, and that's why the Chargers were in it. But, you know, that's why people like Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, there's a level that they expect from everybody on the team, right? And they're great leaders. So you can't get away with not working hard in practice and in the off season, because they are, right? So, and you know, like Jalen Hurts, you know, squatting 600 pounds, you know, more than anyone else on the team.
I did not know that.
And receivers, you know, in specialty positions. They work hard, and Barkley, you know, those two push each other. The Chargers just don't have that. I mean, there's no one that, you know, sticks out like that. You know, maybe, you know, Harbaugh might have been when he was a, you know, player, but, you know, not to the degree of Brady or Mahomes or anybody like, or Hurts. But, it's just disappointing. We'll see what happens. I mean, they were in good position, and, you know, of course, now they have to play out. And they have to win next week. And because if they'd beaten the Ravens, they would have had a 2-game lead on them for the wild card. Then it would have been a good position to be in. So it'll probably come down to the last game.
Well, let's be honest, Bill. I mean, let's be completely honest here. Jim Harbaugh was brought in to toughen the Chargers up. And I think that'll take a couple of years. And I've got to be honest. I've got to be very honest. I think Justin Herbert needs to toughen up. I mean, the quarterback is the strength of all these teams. You look at these teams with multiple championships, their quarterback is key in the leadership. You know, as much, you know, Peyton Manning only won one Super Bowl. Technically, he won two, but the defense actually won that Super Bowl. I mean, remember, they were determining who do we play, Brock Osweiler or Peyton Manning. The only reason they went with Manning was because it was Manning, but because Brock was playing better football at the time. And that said, I guess what I'm saying is the Mannings, outside of Eli, the Mannings have been the two most overrated quarterbacks I've seen in my lifetime. Archie Manning as a child, but poor Archie went to the Saints and all the hoopla from his college days into pros never translated, but I thought Peyton Manning was one of the most overrated quarterbacks that ever played the game, a product of media. But that said, he was a leader. He did carry himself as a leader, and that's why his teams were always competitive. And I'm sorry, the Chargers don't have that in Justin Herbert right now. You know, and look at the teams in the AFC West. Oakland, they're lacking a quarterback. The Broncos are surprising. Now, what do they have? They have a young rookie quarterback. He's not a leader yet, but he's playing like a high-end quarterback, and that inspires confidence. And he seems to have a good head on his shoulders. And then who am I leaving out of there? Raiders. And the Chargers are the Chargers, you know. So if they can find some shit there, maybe they'll do better.
And then Bo Nix. Bo Nix is playing really well right now. And he's a tough guy, right? And, you know, and you're right. I mean, I call Herbert Sherbert Herbert. Maybe that's what, you know.
I like that, Sherbert. Sherbert.
That means everything. You know, he's one of these guys. You know, there's the guys in practice that play real well, or you like, wow, they're really talented. They have the frame. They can throw the ball or catch or run, whatever it might be, right? But they just don't get over the hump and actually perform at the level, you know, they want. I happen to really like him. But a lot of the players around him, you know, they drop balls when they shouldn't on, you know, big downs, big plays late in the game. The only one who's really playing for them is McCaukey, number 15. I mean,
the receiver. Is that Phil McCaukey's kid?
No relation. But he's playing. He's like Gazoo from the Flintstones, but he makes every play. He never drops the ball, you know, so.
Are you talking about the little green alien?
Yeah. Take a look at his helmet. His helmet, he has one of those special helmets. He looks like Gazoo.
Oh, I do that. Oh, yeah. The helmet that looks like it has leather.
It's just it's larger. So he's a smaller guy, right? So the big helmet on the smaller frame looks, you know, just looks like, reminds me of Gazoo, the headgear that Gazoo.
Oh, I'm with you on that. All right. Let's get to it, brother. It's been a good week. In terms of it's a holiday week, and we got lots of topics to talk about. So let's get to it. We are, first of all, people, we're going to talk about the Mountain West Tournament. For those of you not aware, Bill and I have been covering the San Jose State University volleyball team, how they've won, I think, about 7 games based off forfeits because nobody wants to play with a man. You know, they don't want to play, as I like to say, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh, when that guy's jumping up with that schlong going back and forth. They just don't want to play with him. Now, I believe he transitioned, but he's still a man, muscular-wise, etc. He looks more like a woman, I'll say, compared to some of these transgenders out there, but he still has the strength of a man. So we've been following that. So what happened was there were 7 teams that forfeited, and Bill and I had talked about this before the Mountain West Conference Tournament for volleyball was going to come up. It's like, well, how are they going to deal with this? And we speculated. I'm proud to say I was pretty spot on. Something would happen with their lawsuit. They would band together, try to get something done. And sure enough, a group of a dozen women, including the current and former collegiate volleyball players, they filed a lawsuit against the Mountain West Conference and San Jose University. The lawsuit alleges, Bill, that they are being suppressed of their First Amendment rights, and it is a Title IX violation. You and I in the past have come to agree on that. And if the focus is on the participation of Mr. Blair Fleming. You know, now here's where it all gets kind of nasty, as I like to say. The judge presiding over this case, Bill, was appointed by President Joe Biden, Judge Cato the Pajama Man Cruz. God, I hope I never go up in front of him. They say, Judge, you don't like it. So Judge Cato Pajama Girl Cruz was nominated on February 22nd, 2023, so just last year, for the United States District Court for the District of Colorado and confirmed by the Senate on January 10th. Now, Joe Biden has made it clear, I'm okay with schlongs beating up on women in female sports. Kamala said, you know, hey, I wish I had a schlong to go beat up on somebody, you know, so she's okay with it too. So with this lawsuit, time was of the essence, and you brought that up. Hey, something's got to happen. It's got to happen quick. And it was an emergency meeting. The hearing aimed to rule on an injunction sought by the plaintiffs to disqualify San Jose State from the tournament and Blair Fleming from competing. Now, what they were requesting was to disqualify either disqualify San Jose State from the tournament or disqualify Blair Fleming from competing, remove losses from records of teams that protested by not competing against San Jose State, and remove corresponding wins from San Jose State University's records. Here's my problem with this lawsuit. You bring what you can that's legit to win. They were throwing the kitchen sink at stuff that if I'm the judge, I'm actually looking at this saying, you're asking for a lot of BS here. You know, so what are your initial thoughts on the injunction request and where we stand, not with the decision, we'll get to that in a moment, but with this injunction request. Now, let me explain what I mean, Bill, here. They wanted to disqualify San Jose State. I get it. They had Blair Fleming.
Yeah.
But they, and I get disqualifying Blair Fleming. What I don't get is removing losses from records. Those girls could have played. I'm sorry. It was their choice at the end of the day. It's like you want to have your cake and eat it too, you know, and then remove corresponding wins from San Jose State University's record. Once again, y'all chose. So I'm not kosher with those final two, but I get the first two. But maybe that's how legalese works. You throw the kid. It's like art of the deal with Donald Trump. You go in there with big expectations, big demands, and then you come to a compromise. What are your thoughts on the your thoughts on the judge and on the request?
Well, first of all, with the judge, that it doesn't surprise me with the verdict up for the injunction, right? Because of where, you know, who we pointed him, he's a lefty. They threw the kitchen sink at him and actually gave him an out, right? Because it is confusing and there's not enough time. So I'm not surprised that this sort of is now in the background. The lawsuit continues, right? That Title IX issue. Now that's going to be really interesting. I would have, you know, personally removed that part as well, but I don't think you can in a sense, because every attorney is going to recommend anyone in the sphere of responsibility is going to be sued, right? Or part of the, you know, injunction or whatever it might be. At least that, you know, that's my experience. But so, you know, I'm not surprised that it was, you know, rejected, so to speak. There wasn't enough time. You know, I think it falls on the Mountain West Conference not getting ahead of this a long time ago. They claim that this has been there the way they've dealt with the conference since 2022, which also doesn't surprise me because that falls under Biden and Harris as well. So I think we got to go through this tournament. It's going to be interesting because Utah State and Boise play each other, and then they play San Jose State, the winner of, and both of them forfeited to San Jose during the year. So it's going to be interesting to see what the winner does. Do they step away from the tournament and forfeit again to San Jose State or not? But in general, not surprised at the ruling. You know, I'm interested now in the Title IX lawsuit, which I think has real merit, and hopefully will shake up the conference and be an example of, you know, for other conferences around the country.
Right. So obviously, as you all can tell, people, the Judge Cruz did deny the witness that to a conclusion. But Bill's jumped ahead a little bit. Let me catch you up on this one issue. Is the judge, his first action was to deny witness testimony after reviewing the brief. And that was key. It is important for these judges, these especially male judges, to hear from the women, you know, because I'm pretty sure a couple of those witnesses were probably going to be women who were hurt, you know, through volleyball. He said no. And he purposely said no. His, you know, because that's very moving. His decision was made before anybody was ever seen, in my humble opinion. He determined that oral arguments from attorneys would be enough to address the legal questions. He said it was also a lack of an emergency. I kind of see this is, again, you can't have your cake and eat it too. This lawsuit should have been done months ago in preparation for this, not at the last minute. But they do have a lawsuit against him. So maybe that's what they're counting on. So, but he was saying, hey, this delay is deemed not reasonable as the transgender participation policy has been in place since 2022. Now, I had to defend the judge here a bit. He's following the Title IX changes that the Biden Harris regime made. But where I don't give him any quarter is, hey, there's two Title IX. It's a conflict here. It's what Biden and them said. is the new Title IX versus the old Title IX? What's the actual process to change the Title IX? And that's where I found some what I would look at as gray area, and the judge should have made his decision on. Instead, he just flat out is okay. I hope he has a daughter that has a play against a man one day. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
You know. So allowing witness testimony could have caused confusion. That was what the court said, and disrupted months of planning. No, it could have brought out ugly truths that they did not want to deal with, is how I view it.
I'm not sure months of planning should even be involved in the decision either, by the way. That has nothing to do with this, in effect, right? I mean, months of planning for the tournament, I don't think that that's relevant to it, but, you know, that's what they brought up. And by the way, this Title IX ruling, or the Title IX split, you know, Biden and Harris, as you mentioned, that was for people on campus. So it used to be for women. Now they put every freak group in it. And then for campus life, right? And for academic life, it wasn't for athletics. They hadn't gotten that done yet. And San Jose State and the Mountain West and this judge in San Jose State and the athletic department at San Jose State and the school have hid underneath that umbrella that's not there. But they're using it to define that and defend themselves. So that needs to get cleared up, as you stated.
Right, right. And I think Trump is going to clear a lot of that up. You know, it's funny because you see these black female head coaches are stuck, like the Dawn Staley. Took her 17 minutes to answer the question on girls before she goes, I got to be politically correct to my feminazi brethren, even though I don't want to be. Like I said, I can't wait until she has to play a team with a man in it, because it's coming. If this isn't right. Changed, it's female basketball will never be the same. You're going to have a kid, because you know why, Bill? These boys in high school, they're going to use Title IX to get on these teams.
Yep.
If you don't think there's not going to be a head coach, you're going to go, I can get some wins here. With his yeah. Come on now, slong yep. Boy.
Right.
So we both think that this is going to change because of the new regime coming, the new presidency coming in. But I don't think it can change fast enough, as we're seeing with the Mountain West Conference. You know, right. So there's a national battle being waged here. And while it's San Jose State University in the national headlines today, a couple years ago, it was Leah Thomas, who had not and still has not transitioned, you know, going into the locker rooms fully naked. You know, there's a disease that where men who cross-dress get aroused. And somebody mentioned that old Leah Thomas, the swimmer, was aroused at times in that locker room.
Well, that's terrific.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? It's like, it's okay, girls. It's natural. I can't help it. Yeah, I was just about to have some sailor talk here, but I'm going to stay away from that.
Oh, no.
Attorneys. Yeah. But, so. Yes. So it's a national battle. You know, yeah, it started with the Thomas on national level, San Jose State. There's 10 zillion other cases that have been happening, but it's gone down to the high school level. And there's many stories. In fact, we covered one last week at the high school level that hit the federal court and was sent back down after the courts below it said, nah, there's no issue. Move along. Schlongs beating up on women are okay. And the federal court slapped that down. Here's another case. It's here in our neck of the woods, California. Forfeiting fairness, Central Valley Christian High School's decision to forfeit over a transgender athlete. So it's a school called Stone Ridge Christian High School. It's a private Christian school in Merced, California. Where's Merced at, Bill? Isn't that in Central Valley?
I believe so.
Yeah, Central Valley. That's farmland, people. Yeah. They forfeited a girls, ironically, volleyball state playoff match. This transgender is taking not only beating up on girls, he's taking lifelong memories away from them. You know, the match was against, obviously, San Francisco. No surprise. San Francisco Waldorf, part of the California Interscholastic Federation, NorCal Division 6 volleyball tournament. And I'm not surprised at San Francisco. I am not surprised one iota. I would not be shocked if there's multiple boys playing in the San Francisco school districts. You know, so the reason for the forfeiture, obviously, was because they didn't want to play against a transgender athlete. And they cited religious beliefs. And it's kind of tough to argue considering it's a religious school. It's a Christian school. You know, and the reason I say that is when we try to get religious exemption in this country, they crap on Christians. I mean, yep. We saw that all through COVID, and we're now finally seeing them have to pay out these religious. Of course, they had religious exemption there, and you said no. And we're talking millions. So that was their reason forfeiting it. In fact, they stated that gender is not changeable according to, quote, God's word, unquote. I agree with them, Bill. Your thoughts?
Well, of course, I'm on the same page with this. This needs to happen, right? And that's, you know, that's their part of the school that they go to. That's what they believe. You know, they're sticking with their beliefs, which I have to give them a thumbs up for. I know they're catching flack from the CIF for it. But yet all these schools are running into this where they don't, you know, they might not play somebody all year. Then they play in the playoffs and they, you know, they have a, you know, transgender on the team. So, you know, I give them, you know, double thumbs up for the move. You know, it creates some buzz around the topic and helps it move forward. And the more high schools that have the problem, the colleges trickle down to the high schools trickle down to the, you know, the middle school and younger. And so hopefully it will help to clean up this whole situation in the future.
I completely agree. Like you said, they're getting pressure from the CIF. They said there's not going to be any punishment. Well, they can't punish him. It's God's word. It's their beliefs. You know, it irks the hell out of me, whether you're Jewish, Hindu, Muslim, or a cult. Those judges, they'll be the first. Wow. You can't infringe on those people's rights. Christian, we spit on you. That's how it seems like it goes in this country. You know, for Christians, you know, so it's good to see that starting to change the past year. And I think it's changing because even the court sees judges see the writing on the wall. I truly believe in my heart, some of these activist judges need to be impeached. For you all out there who says I'm high on this. No, I'm not. All the power of the courts, except for the Supreme Court, comes from the United States Congress. They're the ones who created the court system. They're the ones who have empowered them. They can take it out. Take it back. And they need to start doing that. And it's not, I don't care if it's a conservative judge who's being an activist, being too pro-religious, for example. Say, yeah, those Ten Commandments need to be in the church, in the school. You know, I'm like, okay, if the Constitution says it can't be, don't put it in there. Throw his ass out too. I just want judges that follow the Constitution and the laws in place. You know, we don't seem to have that. You know, so this is the national debate. Oh, but real quick, Bill, I want to show you. I came across it. This is on basketball, but they're like, oh, basketball is physical, but it's not really contact. You know, they really can't get hurt, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to show you this video. Then give me your thoughts after you see, Bill.
Oh, boy.
Let's slow that down again.
Yeah.
Watch, that's a good... Now watch her. Watch the girl. She can't move. She hurt.
Yeah.
That guy slung her down so hard. Look at that.
Yeah, you could probably hurt her lower back the way he slung her down. Look how tall the dude is, too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, let's watch one more time real quick. It's only the beginning here. He just muscled his way.
Yeah.
Just muscled his way. That was the third girl that got injured. They went at halftime, said, no mas. You know, it turns out that was a play. That was a game. They were already in the playoffs. So they had one more win to get in the playoffs. And said, we're just not going to play against this team. And they forfeited. So when Don Staley over at South Carolina State, when supporters of this San Jose State, who we've seen the video of the girl who now has concussion, physical issues, because she got hit so hard with a kill shot. Don't tell me that boys playing a girl's game is no big deal. And you know what irks me, Bill? Give me your thoughts on this. I'm hearing it over and over. There's no evidence. Are you fucking blind?
I got to tell you something. Any, you know, effing coach who's okay with that shouldn't be coaching. Okay? Shouldn't be coaching. And any athletic director that allows that to happen shouldn't have his or her job anymore. Okay, I mean, it's ridiculous. That example in the basketball, all you do is need to watch that two times. He's much taller than all the other girls. he's stronger. Basically, he almost ripped her arm off and whiplash down to the floor. It's unbelievable to me that people don't see it. And it has to change. And all the coach, even the San Jose coach, you could take one picture of him. He looks like he might be transitioning for all I know. I mean, it just makes no fucking sense at all. And why don't we see women becoming men and then playing with the men? It doesn't happen because they can't do it. So it's always
that it would be reverse.
Yeah.
But they
can't play with the men. So they're not going to do that. It's these weak loser guys who can't do it with their own people. And then they want to take advantage of their position and pretend that they're women and compete with the women. I don't give a shit if you want to go out there and put something else on or call yourself a woman or whatever the case you want to do on campus or in life. But then you give away your right to play women's sports because you're not a woman and you should be playing with the guys. But if you want to call yourself a woman, fine. But you don't get it all, right? You just don't get it all, and you have to give up the sport. That's the way it is.
Let me get your thoughts on this. The incident contributes to the ongoing, supposedly, national and international debate. Bullshit. However, what I want to get your take on is Amanda Goad from the ACLU, which used to be a fair organization. Everything about freedom, constitution, they were there to cover it on both sides. Now the ACLU has become nothing for the last 40, 50 years, nothing but a pure play leftist attack dog. They said that excluding transgender athletes sends a negative message about their worthiness compared to cisgender peers. No, they have no worthiness. They have no honor. They're cucks for life. They're not men. They are men. They're not girls. So to hear a woman, a feminazi, condone a man destroying a girl's sport, it's the hypocrisy or the irony, I guess. I don't know which word is best there. It just gets me going. And the CIF is trying to threaten these, to bully them. And they eventually won't, because it's a Christian school who has religious beliefs, and they will get destroyed in the courts. The CIF will ending up having to pay a very hefty financial penalty to that school. But they're trying to threaten them. They're trying to bully and scare them. Your thoughts on the ACLU before we move on?
Well, it's a complete hoax, right? I mean, first of all, as you said, they used to be, the group used to have some meaning and some backbone behind them. And now it's just for one purpose, right? But the thing that I don't understand is, if you want to be different, okay, and transgenders are different because the percentages are very low. What is it, 0.5%? I mean, I might have that off by a little bit, but, okay, what about the people that have to play against these athletes and it affects their experience, right? We continue to change things for the small minority group, for the whole world or the whole country, and it makes no sense to me. Because if you're going to talk about, their feelings, you have to talk about the other feelings too. And by the way, it makes no sense. If you make a decision to be different, you have to be able to take the consequences where, you still have to go into a men's bathroom, okay? Because you're not a woman. You can't go into the woman's bathroom. All right, fine. But accept it and just do it. Don't make everything change. For instance, my wife is in a wheelchair, and when we go to airports, they've combined the wheelchair access to family restrooms at times, right?
Gotcha.
So that it covers both. Now, when you go to an airport, it's an all-gender bathroom. So what do you have? You have these motherfuckers going in and using the bathroom who don't even need to go in there, right? But they've slapped it on there. So now someone who really needs to get in can't get in. And that's what they're doing and everything. It's a joke.
You know what, Bill? We have emasculated. And I got news for you, world, America. The weak are always overtaken by the strong. Our future, your kids better be learning Russian, Chinese, Pakistani, something, because we are a weak nation. Those are boys that are representing tomorrow's leaders. I mean, do we really want Justin Trudeau's here? Do we really want cucks like that to lead us? because that's the road we're going down. I mean, it started with Obama, to be quite frank, you know?
Well, yeah, it did. Yeah, this all started with him.
All right. All right. So let's move on here. The question we're leaving you with, people, is it right for men to compete against women and for the critics, including Judge Cruz, to deny the evidence of the damage done as the data clearly proves what we just showed you? Well, if you check out some of our previous costs, our podcast videos there, the damage is clear as day. This situation reflects broader tensions and obviously legal challenges surrounding transgender participation in sports. And we will win this at the end. The madness will eventually stop. When? Yeah. I think when Trump fully takes office, but that won't be soon enough for us. So let's move on, Bill. The NBA ratings take a hit. They are in decline. So for the audience out there, NBA ratings have continued to decline this current season, with ESPN's NBA game viewership down 28%. Not just 1 year, but year over year. TNT's viewership decreased by 3%, except for one game when the Cavaliers, who were undefeated, played the Boston Celtics. The league has experienced a 12% decrease in playoff viewership. In historical context, the NBA has lost approximately 45% of its viewership since 2012. So nearly 50% of their viewership has disappeared in 12 years. So, is that 12? No, 14 years. It was showing a consistent decline over nearly a decade, over a decade. Now, your initial thoughts on the decline there, Bill?
Well, I mean, as a sport, I'll make a couple comments. One, the one thing that is always frustrating is the officiating is terrible and random, right? The players, right. You know, this has been one of the old comments. They don't play until the last 2 minutes.
Right.
So who wants to watch them just screwing around on the court? It's, doing whatever they're doing, going back and forth. You know, the game is a lot different now because with the three-pointers, there's a lot of that. The strategy of the game seems to be a lot different, if there is any. And it's just so inconsistent. And then you have stars who just sit out, and so you might buy a big ticket, and all of a sudden the people that you want to see aren't playing.
And for the audience, what Bill's referring to is the load management rule. Stars just aren't, they're sitting games out, and viewers go, I'm not going to play. And to Bill's point of the last 2 minutes, it's funny you say that. Last year's March Madness, my wife said, I had a game on, and you're not watching the game. I'll be back, babe. Nothing happens in the final couple of minutes anyway. It's already innately built in. So Bill is absolutely correct. Now, Bill, the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, says, well, the ratings drop is because of the 2024 presidential election and the World Series. I'm like, really? What was it last year and the year before and the year before that? You know, the NBA was at the forefront of gambling. Why? Because they saw their viewership dropping. When Adam Silver came on, he saw it dropping, and he's been pushing gambling because he no longer cares about the average viewer. He cares about the Chinese market, the Greek market, the Latin American market, and the gambling market here in the States. He doesn't care anything at all. Now, there has been criticism, load management, as Bill said, but the three-point shot, I was shocked at that. Shaquille O'Neal criticized him. I'm like, yeah, whatever, Shaquille. You can't hit a damn free throw, much less a three-pointer. But then fans don't care for it. I love the three-point shot, you know? To me, that's why games are so much tighter now. You have a good three-point shooter on your team, that game's going to be tight till the end. So the load management has become a big deal as well. I don't know how big it is in reality, but at least perception-wise, people view it as a big deal. Now, they're saying if this is true, what Adam Silver said, Bill, you would think that the NFL would be struggling too.
Oh, yeah.
Cord cutting says, that's affecting all sports, not just the NBA. Well, not so fast. The NFL averages 17.3 million viewers. That's its highest rating since 2015. And college football and the UFC are experiencing surges in popularity. Your thoughts on those two issues? The NFL is still king, and college football and the UFC, they're not having an issue growing.
No, and as a matter of fact, the NHL is growing too. So, that's playing at the exact same time.
Bill, we don't talk about white sports here in this country.
Oh, boy, there's a white versus a black sport. I mean, the NBA had a problem too, right? They went corporate big time. you know, at one point because they were having a popularity problem years ago, and then they went corporate, brought the popularity, you know, some of the popularity back. But it's gotten to a point where I can't remember the coach, but he mentioned, you know, it's like it's entertainment, not sport anymore.
George Carl.
Yeah. Okay. And I feel that way about the NFL at times too. But, you know, if you're a real sports fan, you want a framework and rules that are, you know, followed by and by the way, they also have had officials, who have been tossed because they've been involved in betting, right? And that's
right. That was Tim McDonough.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but I mean,
that was some years back. It's
some years back.
Just the bad officiating. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's just totally random. And then you get the superstars getting the calls. The normal guys don't get the same calls. You know. And by the way, the 3-pointer moved the line back. Okay, because, you know, as they moved it further back than college, as these players get bigger and faster and stronger, you have to move the line back. And then that will also encourage more strategy to the inside game, you know, where you get it in, you pop it back out, you know, and you're running the lanes. It'll change the whole game if they move that back. So
you're talking about getting some basic fundamentals back into the game.
Yeah.
And that's the bad officiating. The refs allowing walks, but I mean, you see some players, the palming. Well, I mean, it's bad. Yeah. The walk, LeBron James, he takes about 5 steps before he goes up for that layup. I get that. Now, what about though? Where is it at? Where's my notes? They also got political. That really hurt. That has really hurt them. Their anti-whiteness. Their racism towards fans. I'll tell you about NBA players. Their head coaches chastising Americans, saying there's nothing to see with China, as China sends them billions in gear, you know, while the Uyghurs are being enslaved over there. Those are things that are resonating with fans, not necessarily that they support China as much as they see the hypocrisy. You're crapping on us over here, but you're defending the real bad guys over there.
Right.
You know, I think all of this has had its impact. We are more sensitive now, right or wrong, fair or not. So we are becoming more politically savvy. We see this hypocrisy. And what players don't realize is y'all might try to play the corporate game, hate the corporate people, the corporate elitists. They look at you as Mr. Corporate Elitist with your $150 million guaranteed contract. And they don't realize the disconnect they have. Your thoughts on the league being too political and the NBA secured a $77 billion rights deal with Disney, NBC, and Amazon. Now, they're going to regret that. I can tell you that now, Bill. It's a dying sport here in this country, and they overpaid. We're going to suffer because our Prime subscription is going to go up. Our Disney, NBC, the Peacock, all those prices are going to go up. But they're going to lose subscribers because there's enough streaming services that don't have those type of games. Sports is going to drive streaming costs up through the roof. And the only one that's going to survive that will be the NFL. Your thoughts on the politics in basketball and on these ignorant corporations overpaying?
Well, first of all, the politics hurt because sports used to be non-political, right? And that was the best way for them to be. It was a game. They played it, right? And the politics of the world were removed from the sport.
And right. Every once in a while, politics would make an entrance. Jackie Robinson is the easiest example. Yeah. But that was the exception, not the norm as it's become.
No, and there that was a powerful movement, and there was a lot of reason for that. So, you know, that's on its own.
It was legit.
Right? That's legitimate, and it's on its own.
George Floyd is not legit.
No, I mean, Robinson has his jersey retired all around the league. It's in every stadium on the wall or wherever they put their, you know, the jersey numbers or whatever, right? But no one wants to hear, some athlete that's paid X amount who actually, to be honest, might not really be playing that hard because, you know, they're making so much money out of the gate. Talk about what they believe in or
James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great example. I mean, I don't even want to see him play or hear him open up his mouth. You know, I mean, and so, you know, that's a really big problem, and people get tired of it. And, you know, there's also soccer for people to watch now too. You know, that's growing here. So, you know, that's a, you know, a really big problem. I think the effort that the players put in on a nightly basis is questionable to me. It really is. I'm sorry. It is. And then
Ben Simmons is another one who does not play hard.
No, I mean,
he's always hurt.
If you're paying that money, you want to see them play, right? I mean, that's why you're there. You're actually helping the league by going to a game and paying for the ticket and so forth. You know, and then the other part too is I'm tired of these leagues and their international bullshit, because if I'm a fan, I don't care if my team goes and plays in China or whatever else. I mean, I don't look at it like it's an international league. It doesn't.
Yeah, you know, that's fine, Bill. But that's the NFL you're talking about. This is the basketball.
Basketball's, you know, international in a sense too, when you're talking about China and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. But that's not playing there. But that said, let me get your take on what's it going to take the NBA to get out of this hole there. That's not changing. They're still losing viewers. What's it going to take?
Well, they have, you know, I think they have to get back to basketball. They need to really break down and get on top of the officiating. You know, if I'm a player and I played in high school or college, I know that 17 steps is traveling, right? But if you go to watch a game and they're letting them travel and whatnot, and the rules are different, you know, it just is not as interesting to watch, right? So right. I think they need to make some changes with the officiating and possibly move the three-point line back to actually create some more old-school basketball and strategy, right, that might be involved in it, you know, and create, you know, different incentives for the fans to come back to the game.
Right. But the New Jersey Nets had I forget, he wrote a great book, How to Sell Ice in Eskimo. The New Jersey Nets at the time, not the Brooklyn Nets, but at the time they were like the second worst team in the league with the number two team in merchandise and getting fan attendance. Because they knew how to market. They need to go back to marketing. They need to go back to their base. They need to understand what is fundamental basketball. They need to look at the game itself. Why aren't people watching? They don't talk to the fans. They just want to take the fans' money. They're okay with all the gambling, and that's who they're starting to cater to, not realizing, okay, you can get the gamblers, but they don't make up your general fan. You know, so we'll see how it goes. It's the NBA must balance making money with maintaining their player health, obviously, and improving the product throughout the season. I think the season may be too long if these players can't play every game. You know, that's another thing to consider. All right. Let's move on here, Bill, before we close the show out to a few quick hits here. Streaming showdown. Netflix's $50 million fighting over glitches in the Paul versus Tyson bout. First of all, it was the most streamed live event ever in sports history. 108 million viewers. We're talking Super Bowl numbers. But I didn't get to see it live. I had to go watch something else. And then I saw the final round live. And then I had to go watch after everybody else had stopped watching rounds 1 through 7, and it was horrific. I did not miss anything. I can't get that time back, Bill. I lost the precious time of my life, you know. But so because of that, I was one of those types who I was like, what the hell is my, I thought it was my connection. I was like, our internet must be running slow. Turns out it was many tens of millions of people struggle with this. Class action lawsuit was filed by Ronald Blue Denton in Hillsborough County, Florida. Seeks over $50 million in damages. Allegations include breach of contract and deceptive trade practices due to streaming issues during the fight. It claims that viewers experienced significant buffering and glitches during the broadcast. No, it was even worse than that. I can get the fight to come on. You know, over 100,000 complaints were reported online. Easily 10 million, because there were probably millions like myself who didn't file a complaint and just bitched about it. Accusations of no access and failure to provide promised quality service. To me, that's the biggest kicker, because that's true. They promised me a fight. I wasn't able to see the fight that they promised me that I pay, as you said off camera, a monthly fee for. They The issue specifically, Bill, buffering issues began during the Mario Barrios Abel Ramos's bout. And he's right, because I was able to see that fight. You know, 85,000 complaints during the broadcast alone. Netflix acknowledged technical difficulties. They emphasized the unprecedented scale of the event. They promised to provide initial viewership. See, I think that will happen. I think they'll come back and they'll fix it. Fans took the social media to express frustration over the problems. I mean, so everything this guy's saying is absolutely true. But Bill, is he really? It's like one event. It's like, okay, it was the first time. I'm like, I'm a human. I'm like, we're not perfect. Okay, Netflix screwed the pooch. If they learn from it, okay, I'm okay with screwing the pooch. They learn. Now, if they come back in December and the same thing happens, I think that gives this lawsuit some big old strong legs. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, that to me is ridiculous. First of all, it's not a pay-per-view event. It's not a heavyweight matchup where you're paying $120 to watch the fight, right? It's a simple subscription that is attached to everything else you do, and they happen to have put on a fight, right? In Dallas. So I think the lawsuit's ridiculous. And it just goes to show, as you had stated earlier, I mean, we're just a litigious country, but yeah, the lawsuit should just be tossed. The other thing is, I watched the fight. I had no problems. But what's interesting to me is,
Hold on, Bill. Are you on Roadrunner or Time Warner, one of those fast cable modems?
No. I'm on a private high speed network.
Okay, but you prove my point. You're on a high speed network. I'm on wireless because I'm in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's those in the suburbs away from the high speed internet that have the problems.
And not only the thing that I was wondering about is I turned it on right away. So, you know, servers provided it, right? So I logged in right away and didn't turn it off. I had it on the whole time. I had no problems. I'm wondering if people who tried to come in late had the delays. Did anybody have problems when they started from the very beginning? Or was it when they came in, there wasn't room for them, right? Or there was technical difficulties when it came to that. So that I find would be very interesting to know. Was it being in the country, as you said, on Wi-Fi? Or was it when you came in and chose to watch the fight? Because I think that might be part of it. I think if people came in right from the very beginning, not knowing, but just assuming, I don't think they would have had as many problems because then they're locked in, to the server that's providing, the show, right, or the fight.
Right. You're right, Bill. You were locked in. I had it early on, and then I left and came back, put it back on, then I was locked out. No, I get it. Do you think they're going to have it resolved by – give me a quick answer.
It'll be resolved. Yeah, it'll be resolved. It has to be. I mean, if you're going to have problems with the league, you don't want to have problems with the NFL, right? So it'll be resolved.
Right. So the lawsuit humorously noted that viewers expected Mike Tyson, but got the baddest streaming on the planet. So concerns obviously are about a repeat performance in December with the NFL games. And that includes the Chiefs versus Steelers, which could have home field implications. I believe Netflix, as Bill does, Netflix will get past this considering how much they have riding on this to land a potential NFL-type contract similar to an Amazon Prime. How they do it, I don't know. Maybe they have two games on Thursday or one on Friday. But then the NFL is going to spread its games out throughout the week with so many streaming services wanting to have exclusivity. So let us move on, Bill, to our favorite cup, Mark Cuban and his courtside controversy. So Mark Cuban sold his majority stake in the Dallas Mavericks to the Adelson family, very, very uber rich billionaire family, for $3.5 billion in December 2023. He retains about 27.7% ownership stake and continues to control basketball operations. I think he eventually loses that ownership stake as time goes on, but don't quote me on that, people. And he's still running the show. And Adelsons are business people. They're not basketball people, so it kind of makes sense. Now, the revocation of his courtside seats, for those of y'all not aware, he is always at the courtside. From the day he bought them, he's always been courtside for their games. So he expressed frustration after having those courtside seats removed. He described it as petty. He stated, quote, the NBA got really, really, really petty and said that I can't sit behind the bench anymore, unquote. He's lying. He is lying. It's a violation of league rules for him to be there since he's no longer the majority owner.
Right.
If they let him do it, then any Tom, Dick, or Harry will have legitimacy to go do it. And the NBA, they want to keep that to protect the players. They want to know. Now, Cuban poses no threat, but if they make the exception for him, you know, good and well, somebody else is going to put that, hey, make the exception for me. We can't. Okay, I'll see you in court. And then a judge will decide. So if they keep it straight above board, that removes that. Your thoughts on Cuban saying they're being petty versus that being an actual rule?
Well, maybe he's being petty, not the league, right? If he wants to keep that seat, he could have give the $3.5 billion back and you can have your seat back, right? He's been a pain in the ass ever since he took over Dallas with those seats. He's always getting involved with the officials. You know, I'm done with Mark Cuban. I mean, he's old news now. And I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, if you're that concerned about it, then, you know, give the $3.5 billion back for your courtside seat. He's the one who's being petty, not the league. It's a rule, and they're following the rules. They could do well by putting that on the officials, too. But anyways, yeah, it's the rule. So, you know what? You sold the team. He probably didn't pay attention. He didn't realize his seat would be gone. I'm sure he didn't even think about that. And then he just thought, oh, I have my seat because I have 27% or whatever he has, and he's running basketball operations. He probably didn't even think about it. So,
I'll be honest, Bill. In his defense, I think, you know, the NBA may be enforcing the rules regarding seating and ownership privileges because he's no longer the principal owner. Right. And his removal of those courtside seats does symbolize a shift in his relationship with the franchise. The league is saying, you're not the owner. You have ownership in the team, but you are not the majority owner. And I really think, too, the league may have been confused. You know, they probably saw Cuban sitting there, and they probably thought it was Rachel Maddow. Yeah, they probably thought it was Rachel Maddow there.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, look at those. Look at those two earrings. Those white. Oh, those are buds, aren't they? I mean, he looks like the. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Bill. But does he not look like he's transitioning?
Yeah, I think he might be. I know he has the man boobs to transition. I thought they. You know, it's funny. He was on Bill Maher the other night with Joe Scarborough, and the two are ridiculous. You know, two idiots from the left, you know, giving each other high fives. But I looked and I said, God, he has breasts. So maybe he is transitioning.
What size cup? What cup there, Bill?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, it was embarrassing. I think it might even have been a B or a C. I mean, it was really awful.
Oh, man.
Somebody has to tell them.
Should we call them Rachel Cuban or Mark Maddow? Which one is it?
I think it's Mark Maddow Cuban, you know, or something like that. But I mean, somebody's got to get his wardrobe under control, or, you know, put some Spanx, you know, maybe a bodysuit of Spanx bodysuit to help him out, because it looked ridiculous. But your point is, maybe he is transitioning, and maybe that's why, you know, he looked that way. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. But the bottom line with Mark Cuban is he's a man on an island. He's a lost soul. He's drifting. Doesn't have anything to look forward to. He wants to remain relevant.
Yep.
He realized that, hey, I'm an NBA owner. I'm a handful of the elites. I'm a multi-billionaire worth about $7-8 billion. I own an NBA team, but I'm not relevant.
Right.
Elon Musk is relevant. Donald Trump, who I'm richer than, well, he's president. He's relevant. Now right. I'm not even relevant as an NBA owner. And I think he wants to be relevant again. And his life is spiraling, which goes to show money does not bring happiness, but it sure does make life more comfortable. I'll be the first to admit that in the sense of people who complain, money doesn't bring happiness. Yeah. But would you rather be miserable and poor or miserable and rich? I think miserable and rich.
Yeah, right. You know, money helps. That's for sure. I mean, it really does.
And he's right.
That's for sure. So he's miserable with that, too.
With what?
He's miserable with Trump being elected. You know, so he's got to live with that, too.
Yes, he is. All right. Let's get to the final topic here. Spend a couple of minutes on it. It's a Hatfield and the McCoys. They're related this time, though. Baker Mayfield's legal battle, family dispute over $12 million. Baker Mayfield's obviously the overall number one pick from the Cleveland Browns, went to the Rams, ended up with the Bucks. He is claiming that Camwood Capital Management Group, which is owned by his daddy, James W. Mayfield, violated a settlement agreement. The settlement agreement stipulated that Camwood owed Mayfield over $12 million. There was a settlement agreement on how to repay it with interest. They were going to refinance to be able to repay it, and Mayfield's team was going to have access to financial reports. None of that happened. So he's taking them to court. He says, to date, Campbell Capital has not repaid even $1 under the settlement agreement. Between 2018 and 2021, $12.2 million was allegedly transferred from Mayfield to Campbell affiliates without his consent. Daddy said, boy, give me that money. You know, Mayfield seeking all that his money back with interest. I don't blame him. Camwood Capital Management Group is a family-owned business, adding complexity to the legal proceedings. The business has been involved in various ventures, including manufacturing and operational services. What are your thoughts on this, Big Bill?
Well, it's interesting to me because, you know, I've seen this happen before with family and friends, but how did they transfer the money without his consent? I mean, was there an agreement set up?
It's his dad.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm assuming they don't have a joint bank account. You know what I mean? The money had to be in there or had to be accessible by his dad for the company. And then there's another complaint, I believe, in there about, you know, he had no ownership. Well, the agreement originally he might not have had any ownership. So, I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions here, even though that, you know, they violated the settlement. But it's sad, basically, for me. I think it's sad that it's come down to that between the two of them. I think there's a lot of unknowns in between and why this even happened. Maybe he wasn't paying attention. Maybe he, you know, some of the paperwork that needed to be filed originally when they came together for this wasn't, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't paying attention, like I said, but overall it's sad.
Well, let's be honest. Like the scenario, son, I'm hurting a little bit here. Can you help me out? Sure, Dad, no problem. You know, here's my account. Get your lawyers. Let me know what's happening. And boom, Daddy took the money and ran. You know, and to correct myself, he was drafted number one overall by the Cleveland Browns, traded to the Panthers, then went to the Rams, then to the Bucks. Is how his career has wound up. You know, so look, this is just the beginning. It's become public. I am pretty sure Camwood Financial or what's the company name? Camwood Capital is done.
Yeah.
You know, working with them, has their money with them, is they're going to pull all that crap out. So Mayfield, and that's the worst thing for this to have come out publicly. Mayfield is probably going to have a good chance of winding up with nothing and being on the outskirts with his family. This is why you don't do business with family. I made the mistake of doing business with family too, and I was taken for thousands, you know, because they abuse the relationship. And then they have the thought process of, well, you know, you have money, what's a big deal? Yeah, and that's how Daddy probably looked at it. You just signed a $50 million contract, or you know, you got a big old contract here. You can afford the loss here. You know, help your dad out. I think
maybe it's not the dad. You know, maybe it's him. I mean, I'm not going to just assume the dad's the only problem here. There's usually two people, and there's
no, Bill. Look, it's pretty laid out here. He lent him $12 million. There were rules stipulated to pay it back to get it set up, and none of that was done. And Daddy's running that company, and he did none of that. So to me, and you're right, there could be something there, but it seems pretty clear on the surface. Daddy may have taken advantage of his son.
So the other thing, it's not, but the last thing I'll say is, you know, he had no ownership. It was supposed to be for operational, management, not actual purchasing groups and companies and whatnot, for him to get ownership in. So that's really confusing to me when I read.
Well, that makes it worse. It was probably his son just trying to help the family out. Yeah, Dad, I'll help your company out.
Well, yeah, he didn't pay attention. And it was running for 3 years. And then all of a sudden he came in and said, I'd like that money back.
Well, it sounds more like they were going over and over and over until the fact it took 3 years is the fact that because he's his daddy, I can't, we can't, I have to take you to court, man. You're screwing your son over.
I don't know.
Probably gave family leeway there, is one reason, is what I suspect. But the lawsuit is currently in its early stages, and further developments are expected as both parties prepare their cases. The potential for settlement does exist, and it could resolve the issues, and that's what Cam would probably want, and that's what his son probably wants too. But there you have it, my friends. That's our show for the night. Do not forget to like, share, subscribe, and you can find this podcast, Points on the Board, along with my pop culture / political podcast, Red, White, and Rude, and my conservative talk podcast with Bill's beautiful wife, Annette Ross, Fired Up. You can find that podcast and others like it at Grumblings Media, grumblingsmedia.com, as well as our social media outlets, Rumble, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora. I am William Del Pilar. For Mr. Bill Ross, and this is Points on the Board. And until next time, happy Thanksgiving, and we bid you adieu.